Our present conference is on the Blessed Virgin in our lives. Part 1, Our Marian Faith. The more familiar you become with the writing and spirituality of Father Gerald, the more you see it is bedrock Marian spirituality. However, I thought before going on into other vistas of Father Gerald's Marian piety, we should first look at the foundations of that piety, which is our Marian faith. There are so many aspects of our Marian faith that I will simply concentrate, as I try to do here, on three perspectives, each an article of our undivided Catholic belief. First, that Mary is the Mother of God. Second, that Mary is the Mother of the Holy Eucharist. And third, that Mary is our supernatural Mother. I frankly believe that although, thank God, most Catholics have a strong childlike devotion to Our Lady, not so many, including priests and religious, are all that well-founded or grounded in their understanding of what we mean when we speak of Mary as our Mother. Mary is therefore, first of all, the Mother of God. Whatever else we believe about the Blessed Virgin, and we believe a great deal, finally rests on belief in her divine maternity. We might remind ourselves that it was the faithful laity back in the early 5th century when their Archbishop Patriarch of Constantinople, by name Nestorius, began preaching and ordering his priests to preach that Mary is the Mother of Christ, but not the Mother of God. And the laity rose up, I was going to say in arms, the Gothic Emperor and the Pope to summon a general council. Place, Ephesus, year 431. Nestorius was condemned, and the papal legates at the council declare. Every Catholic must believe that Mary is Theotokos, God's mother, and not merely Christotokos. But just for the record, not all the bishops at Ephesus any longer believe that. And the Nestorian heresy that began in the early 5th century, though condemned by the Council of Ephesus, left so many, especially among certain bishops, not accepting Mary as the Mother of God, that 2 centuries later, to be exact, 622, the Christianity in the then Arab countries of the Near East, the faith was so damaged that when Mohammed came along, though he believed that Jesus, Esau, was the son of Mary, Ibn Mariam, but he denied that Jesus is the Ibn Allah, the Son of God. Why? Because Mary was, as Nestorius had taught, so Muhammad taught after him. In teaching Islam, I've been telling my students for 25 years, except for the heretic patriarch Nestorius, there would be no Mohammedanism in the world. That's a large statement. With upwards of 500 million Muslims shaking the world to its foundation, like true Nestorians, denying that Mary is the Mother of God. What do we mean when we say Mary, Mother of God? We believe, of course, that Christ had two natures, a divine nature, one with the Father, and a human nature, one with his mother. Well, we need to be as clear as possibly can. And the more often I teach, and every chance I get, I teach a course in Mariology. Try to make as clear as possible why we believe that Mary is the Mother of God. Clearly and obviously, Christ as God had no mother. Indeed, Christ is God, had no beginning. Though we do, because our faith tells us, have the first person generated the second person. The Father generated the Son. You've got to immediately apologize even for using the past tense of the verb. The second person is being and has been and will be from eternity into eternity generated by the Father. In that sense, to say that Mary was the mother of Christ's divinity would be blasphemy. However, we identify the woman who conceives and gives birth to a child as that child's mother, not because even our mothers, not because the mother provides the immortal spirit of that child. No less than our souls were immediately created by God, and as we say, infused into the body prepared by our father and mother. No less than our souls had to be immediately and directly created by God. So was Christ's soul as man. Directly, immediately created by God. Yet we'd be out of our minds to, as I keep repeating, introducing our mothers to say a stranger, "This is the mother of my body." My mother. The essence of motherhood is the conception and giving birth to a person. And the person whom Mary conceived and gave birth to was a divine person. His human nature was united hypostatically, which means personally, forming one individual. Three synonyms: hypostatically, personally, forming one individual. Christ's human nature was thus hypostatically, personally, forming one individual. His human nature was thus united with the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Mary did not provide it. How obvious can you be? Christ's divinity. Indeed, she did not even provide his soul. Some even, "So what?" A mother, to repeat, a mother is a mother because she conceives and gives birth to a person, even though she provides only, this is, a mother. The corporeal or bodily element of that person. And, quite frankly, if we don't hesitate, calling the woman who conceived and gave us birth our mother. And yet all of us had a human father. Christ did not. If anything, Mary provided more for her son's humanity than does our mother. Before believers, let's make very sure that we've got no illusion, and there is no obscurity, no fuzziness in our faith. As a child in Mary's arms at Bethlehem was in the profoundest and most unequivocal sense her God. Before we leave this part one of our reflections, let's remind ourselves that a person's faith in the divinity of Jesus Christ is only as strong and as clear as his faith in Mary's divine maternity. That is why, as I've been telling my students over the years, people who are not devoted to Mary, for whatever reason, have either a weak or a non-existent faith in the divinity of Mary's son. In other words, Mary being the mother of God is indissolubly united with her son being the living, natural, infinite Son of God. Outside the Catholic Church, having over the years taught so many Protestants, published 3 books about them, know them well, I do not tire repeating, especially speaking to a Catholic audience, I don't know of a single prominent Protestant theologian of the world, none, and not only English-speaking, none, who believes without qualification in the divinity of Christ, none. I repeat, none. Our faith in Mary as the Mother of God is the granite foundation on which our faith in her Son's divinity rests. The human mind may be error, but as long as a person is rational, listen, the human mind is naturally logical. A person may be dead wrong about what a person believes in. But once you believe, here that Mary is the mother of God, everything else follows in the whole of our faith. And correspondingly, once a person questions or denies Mary's divine maternity, logically, the human mind cannot accept or ascend to the divinity of her Son. Mary, the mother of the Eucharist. Our second level of reflection is on Mary, the mother of the Holy Eucharist. Here again, I've taught too many priests not to know what widespread lack of clarity is in otherwise believing minds, and why some people either wonder why the title should even be used, Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, and are still less clear as to what we mean. The key to seeing how Mary is the Mother of the Eucharist is the fact that in the Holy Eucharist is present Jesus Christ, true God and true man. And within those two articles of our faith, that Jesus is true God, that Jesus is true man, between those two, it is our faith in Christ's humanity that is the key that unlocks the treasury of implications following on the fact of our faith that Mary is indeed Mother of the Eucharist. It is Christ's humanity. Therefore, in the Blessed Sacrament, Christ, we believe, is present with his human nature. Christ is present in the Holy Eucharist with his human body and human soul. Christ is present in the Eucharist with all the human features of his human body. He is present in the Eucharist with all the human faculties of his human soul. All I have to ask my students, and I've been doing this over the years, how many natures in Christ, depending how I accent my words, it gets suspicious. Finally, one brave soul puts up his or her hand, and I cannot tell you how many have told me Christ has one nature, two natures. I go on. How many persons in Christ? Now they're really suspicious. Then, shades of Nestorius. In their beautiful innocence, Christ has two persons. What? Then I go on. In his human nature, how many minds or intellects does God have? In his human nature, one. In his divine nature, one. Then I go back. How many intellects in Christ? Some still don't add 1 and 1 equals 2. Jesus Christ has 2 intellects. Then, how many wills in Christ? Some diehard still won't admit it. Did Christ have a human will? He did. Did he have a divine will? He did. How much is 1 plus 1? 2. This is not a class in arithmetic. This is a conference on how Mary, his mother of the Holy Eucharist. Let's go back. Except for Christ's humanity, there would have been no incarnation. That's all incarnation means. And fleshment. But, except for Mary, Christ would not have been human. Christ had 2 generations, 1 eternal that never began, in the bosom of the Trinity. Then he had a 2nd generation as man, which began in time. And the genitrix, feminine gender, was Mary. Therefore, it's because of Mary, it is through Mary, that Christ, who is true God and true man, is in the Holy Eucharist, as true God and true man. Except for Mary, therefore, there could be no Christ. Whether a Christ in heaven or a Christ on earth. And Christ is on earth in the Blessed Sacrament. Mary can say, speaking of her son, whether in heaven or on earth, she can say, this is my body. This is my blood. Surely the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Eucharist is his own. Oh, but he wouldn't have it unless he had first received it from his mother. And therefore, believing as we do that Christ in the Eucharist is present, really, truly, substantially, corporeally, bodily, physically, historically, geographically, Christ in the Holy Eucharist is within. The Council of Trent uses the verb is contained within the confines of consecrated sacred species. And the Christ who is there, I repeat, is the human Christ. With a human body, a human intellect, and a human will. where there would be no humanity in Christ unless Mary had given him of her body. And she continues giving us her son every time we attend the holy sacrifice of the Mass, every time we receive Mary's son, his body unites with ours in Holy Communion. And every time we are present before the Blessed Sacrament, we are no less present to the real Jesus Christ when we come to him reserved or exposed in the Blessed Sacrament, no less present to him than Mary was to her son on Christmas morning. He was there and she was there. And except for her, he would not have been there then and would not be here now. Finally, Mary is our supernatural mother. As you can see in this conference, I want to bring out with whatever ability I have the meaning of what we believe when we believe in Mary. The focus of our reflections, therefore, in identifying Mary as our supernatural mother, is to understand as well as we can what we believe when we believe that she is indeed our mother. The key here to understand how Mary is our supernatural mother is to realize that her son is the one who is the source of our supernatural life. Except for the Son of God becoming man, the supernatural life that our first parents lost at the dawn of human history, except for the Redeemer that God promised already to them after they fell, except for that Redeemer having actually come, no human being would possess supernatural life. The essence of the fall of man is the loss of the supernatural life. The essence of the redemption is to regain that supernatural life. However, we better be equally clear that just as there would be no supernatural life for us to claim except for Jesus Christ, so there would be no Jesus Christ except for his mother. And then the same logic obtains that we have been dwelling on before. How? In the primordial sense, is Mary the mother of our supernatural life. She is first and most fundamentally the mother of our supernatural life, because she is the mother of the author of our supernatural life. But there is more here than just that. As we all know, our mothers do not cease to be mothers when they give us birth. Once a mother, always a mother. Mary, therefore, continues to mother the supernatural children of her Son. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, he gave us Mary. It was he, but just before he died, told Mary, "Woman, behold your son." And speaking to John, who represented all of us, "Behold your mother." It was therefore Christ himself, having first of all had a human mother. But as he was dying, Jesus Christ, we may use the language, Jesus Christ gave birth to the church. In other words, Christ was indeed conceived and given birth by his mother Mary. But this son of hers had to explicitly, formally declare that his own mother in the flesh. Once he died, watch it, Christ had to die, and in the process of dying, Mary became our mother not only in conceiving and giving birth to Christ, but she is our mother because she continues to mother the children that her Son redeemed. What is the verb here mean? It means caring for. It means providing for. It means, as every loving mother continues doing for the fruit of her womb, as long as the child and she are still alive, Mary is doing that for us. Caring for, providing for, assisting, pleading for, suffering for. Mary can no longer suffer since she is now in heaven. But before her own assumption, we calculate about 15 years after Christ's ascension, Mary mothered the infant church, caring, providing, pleading, praying. But we continue what Mary had been doing during the visible stay of her Son on earth. Mary now continues doing for the children of that mystical body of which her Son is the head. How is Mary our supernatural mother? Because she continues interceding for us with her Son. And we need to say, she continues channeling the graces that her son had merited by his death on the cross. The secret for understanding how Mary not only was but continues to be our supernatural mother is to see her as having been, shall we say, appointed by her son as the one through whom he wants the graces he merited on Calvary to be communicated. She is our supernatural mother because the graces began to be communicated the moment he died and Mary was there. I still have one more level of reflection, and this is, what are some of the implications of all that we have so far seen about who Mary is? What are our responsibilities? Having said what we did, we now ask ourselves, what are we to do about it? I have four recommendations. Strive to better understand Mary's maternal role in our lives. Second, read and reflect. For example, on even one paragraph of the present Holy Father's encyclical, Mother of the Redeemer. I know of no present day more complete, and I would add, more penetrating understanding of who Mary is than Pope John Paul II's encyclical Mater Redemptoris. I would recommend to all of you, no matter what your state of life, learn all you can about Mary. I almost never do this, but about 6 months ago, I was giving a conference to Mother Teresa's sisters in the Bronx. He was an Our Lady. I asked the young postulants and novices, how many books on the Blessed Virgin do you have in your convent library? Well, they weren't sure, but they came back with a signed document. Somebody counted the number of books. They were so proud. 62 books in the convent library on the Blessed Virgin. I didn't tell them, but I had at least a suspicion that maybe from 1 week to the next, they went around finding more books to inflate the figure. Well, earlier this month, just casually, I asked the novices of the Daughters of St. Mary of Providence, talking about Our Lady, how many books on Our Lady do you have in your library? Then I made the mistake of telling them how many books the Missionaries of Charity have in the Bronx. I said 62. Before I left Chicago, they told me. Again, I became suspicious. They said, and we have 72. Our Lady is mothering her children today. As I watch a mother fondling her young child, oh, little boy, 3 or 4 years old, sitting or standing next to her, I marvel. I don't think I've ever had the nerve to say this publicly. I marvel at how much the mother can talk about to that child. Mother forever talking to their children. Let's make sure, therefore, that in God's ordinary providence, God can, of course He can, directly and immediately infuse divine grace without the mediation of any creature. But one pope after another keeps telling us God does not ordinarily do this, and God is now man. God is now Jesus Christ. The one person became man, but that man is God. That in His ordinary providence, Jesus Christ, the author of our supernatural life and the fountain of all the graces we receive, that He communicates, He channels, He confers. Now a monosyllable, He gives His grace, which is what the supernatural life is all about, through His mother. Before we close, just one more observation. There's no doubt that our mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, has been communicating more just in terms of sheer vocables in our century. It's my business to know this, and as by now you know, I have a weakness for numbers. I count everything in sight. Mary has spoken more words, has told us more what we are to believe, what we are to do, what we are not to do since 1900 than in all the previous centuries put together. I cannot exaggerate the importance of understanding, and I keep repeating, understanding what we mean when we say that all the graces of the supernatural life we receive come from Christ, but through Mary. However, when we use the expression, grace is coming to us through Mary, there is a conditional clause attached to that. And we are that conditional clause. It depends on our humble, simple, childlike faith in betaking ourselves to Mary, so that the graces she is ready to give us will indeed be received. Lord Jesus Christ, when you came into the world, you decided to have a human mother on Calvary. You told her, she is our mother. And you told us, we are her children. Protect us, dear Savior, from ever growing up supernaturally, that we may always approach your mother and ours like a child, asking for what we need. We may be sure, dear Lord, you will never refuse your mother. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.